There's absolutely no excuse to shut down government on this issue or any other issue. I have suggested that we revisit a compromise proposal that we brought forth earlier this year.
Senator Susan Collins speaking about the government shutdown that looms at the end of this week. President Trump has definitely drawn the line in the sand as to what he expects and the price that he's willing to pay owning that government shutdown. Here to talk about that with us is Cassie Smedley. Thank you so much for joining us today, Cassie, National Press Secretary for the RNC. It's good to talk to you.
Hey, Annie. Always great to be with you.
Last week we saw that that exchange with Trump, with Pelosi, with Chuck Schumer. Donald Trump clearly stated where he's willing to be and what he's willing to do to get the border security. That's a campaign promise of his. And I was saying a little bit earlier in the show, the Republicans, really, the representatives, the senators, they really need to show up and support this president and get this done after 2 years of having both houses. It's about time, and they're almost out of time, to make this a case. Are they going to be able to get it done?
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, this was an issue that drove people to vote this cycle. It drove people to vote in 2016. And I understand that there are those who are retiring or they didn't win, and so they aren't as motivated to do their job, but they're still being paid by the taxpayers. They still have a job to do, and this is part of that job, and they should be there to show up and get the votes to get this done. And the president, I love in that meeting you referenced in the Oval Office, that he just took Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi's ace card away from them by saying, fine, I'll take credit for this shutdown because I'm not willing to take credit for a bad deal. We're going to get this done. And I really think that that's his marker that he's laid. And it's really something that Chuck Schumer is not budging on this compromise or making a deal at all, considering that, A, he's a weakened minority leader right now, considering what's about ready to come into the Senate. But he voted for a package in 2013, not once but twice, that would have had overall about $50 billion in immigration and border security funding.
Yeah.
Including building a barrier. So this is fresh that all of a sudden he's acting like he's opposed to this. He knows what the American people want, and they need to get moving on getting a deal done.
So, you know, I'm hoping that you can kind of put my mind at ease here. The frustration that I have right now with the Republican Party is probably a similar frustration that the Democrats had going into 2010. You have the House, you have the Senate, you have the White House. Why couldn't we get something like this done before now? Why does it have to get up to Friday, to the threat of a government shutdown? Why now? Why isn't it something that's been taken care of already?
Well, you know, Ella Fitzgerald once said, I don't need time, I need a deadline. And I think that that should be the line of this Congress as well, and Congress in general. They like a good deadline. But I think also what you're dealing with there is that there were factions in particular in the Senate where we need 60 votes, so you can't just get this done with Republicans. And, of course, we know not much has gotten through the Senate that has had to go through that 60-vote threshold.
Yeah.
And you also had people, even within the Republican conference, who aren't great supporters of the president, and those folks aren't returning next cycle. So he was up against a couple of obstacles. It's not as easily done as it is said, I guess. Just because you have the majority doesn't mean you have the votes in particular in the Senate.
Yeah.
But I think if there's any lesson that we've learned from 2016 and then here again in 2018, those who work the will of their constituents, that will is of the president and of his agenda. And that's where we need to be, and we need to all come together to get these things done because people are expecting us to get something done.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the next 2 years, with the Democrats having all these the subpoena power, and you've got Maxine Waters, who all she says is impeach, impeach, impeach. That's what she's been saying since day one of this presidency. We know what to expect going into the next 2 years. I'm hoping that the Republican Party as a whole can come up with a unified message to approach things like border security, but also healthcare. We got that big news on Friday with the judge saying that the ACA is unconstitutional, and now we will see what happens next. What is the Republican Party going to do with the next 2 years to galvanize themselves to retake that majority in 2020?
That's right. Well, we have to be seen as the party that is working for the American people and fighting for the American people. And we've had that with the president, but it's just not as clearly on display when everybody's working together because you have both chambers of Congress. We're going to see a very stark difference in Nancy Pelosi's House and Mitch McConnell's Senate and Donald Trump's White House. You're going to see very clearly who's fighting for the American people and who's just fighting against the president. And a cautionary tale to my friends in the Democrat Party who are about ready to come in and get that subpoena power and muddy up the process with baseless investigations. As you might recall, when Republicans moved to impeach President Clinton in the House, President Clinton emerged with a higher approval rating because people wanted to see their government work. Never mind the fact that part of the reason he had that higher approval rating is because we had a balanced budget and we had welfare reform, which was thanks to the Republican majority. But as I think we've talked about before, rarely does Newt Gingrich and the Republican majority get credit for that. Bill Clinton does. And oh, by the way, he was going through an impeachment process at that time. So cautionary tale to our Democrat friends, be on the side that's working for the American people and fighting for them, not fighting against this president, because that's not what we want.
Yeah, for sure. We have a staff change in the White House, President Trump's right-hand man, the chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney. What do you think about that decision, that choice on President Trump's part?
I think it's a brilliant choice, leading right into this conversation that we've been having. Mick Mulvaney, having served, yes, he was a congressman, but people forget he was also a staffer. So he understands really what this day-to-day looks like over on Capitol Hill and how to, not just who do we need to talk to, but at what point do we need to be having those conversations, that this all doesn't happen at the 11th hour. These are things where you really need to be laying the groundwork with some good runway ahead of you. And so I think that's really interesting. I think he's a great man for this moment. And also, I think he clearly has got the support and trust and ear of the president. And so I think it's great that the president will have someone with him who he really feels he can confide in and work with.
So I think that there's this image that is painted about the president, certainly by an agenda-driven media, that the president is kind of off wild tweeting whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and flippantly making decisions. I'm sure that that is a parody of something that is much more, you know, you need to contain somebody who hasn't been in politics before. You need to help guide them. But clearly, this president has been able to work in a lot of successful policies. He's signed a lot of deregulation that has really benefited the American economy. What is the compliment that a Mick Mulvaney and a Donald Trump can have that will help them be a dynamic duo in the Oval Office?
Well, first of all, I know Washington bureaucrats and Washington establishment are used to a Washington that moves slow and kind of works on one thing at a time, and they still have not figured out or caught up to the pace of President Trump. Really, who can? I mean, he's the hardest working man in town, and he seems to not need sleep. So I think part of that is that they get annoyed that he's tweeting, but at the same time, the president's like, I can tweet, I can make deals, I can go meet with heads of state. I'm not just a one-man show here. I'm, you know, a one-instrument orchestra or something. But he's doing it all. So I know it bothers them, but I don't think he's bothered by it. And then to the point with Mick Mulvaney, I think to have someone who's really going to help him continue the success of his agenda while navigating these, at least to Donald Trump, uncharted waters of having a mixed Congress with a split majority, I think he will be a real asset to help let Trump be Trump. I think that's the lesson that any of Mick Mulvaney's predecessors will tell you, but also to help give him a guide for how to continue his successes going into 2020. So he's got something to campaign on.
Absolutely. Well, last question for you real quick, Cassie. Joe Biden is leading the Iowa poll for 2020 Democratic candidates. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I love when we talk about Joe Biden right around the holidays because it seems to be everybody's favorite joke that they're like, you know, everyone has an Uncle Joe, you know, Uncle Biden at the Christmas table. And I think that's how people feel about, oh, he's Uncle Joe, you know. And so I think that'd be a great gift if he was their nominee. I think President Trump would have a lot of fun at that debate. And so I'm enjoying watching every rumor that comes out of the Democrats' presidential prospects. Each one comes with their own fun story.
Did you see the Internet Strikes Again, the mashup of the debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump where they were singing Baby It's Cold Outside to one another?
No. Oh. That's what I'm going to go look up right now.
I think it's on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. You can check it out there, but you will laugh very hard, I promise you, Cassie. It's so funny.
I feel like you always leave me with something good to go look up. I love it.
It's Monday. You need to smile on a Monday, and this will definitely make you smile. Cassie,
I love it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate having you on.
Thank you, and if I don't talk to you before, then Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and yours as well. It's Cassie Thanks. Smedley with the RNC, National Press Secretary for the RNC. She's great. I like her a lot. Missouri girl, too, from what I understand. Mm-hmm.